Mr. Ambassador, Monsieur de Tesson, Governor Lehman, Secretary Ickes, Mr. Mayor. 50 years ago, our old neighbor and friend from across the sea gave us this monument to stand at the principal eastern gateway to the western world. Grover Cleveland, President of the United States, accepted this gift with the pledge that we will not forget that liberty that's made her home here, nor shall her chosen altar be neglected. And during those 50 years, that covenant between ourselves and our most cherished convictions has not been broken. 400 years ago, in Europe as well as in Asia, there was little hope of liberty for the average man of courage and goodwill. The ambitions of a ruling class and the times alike conspired against liberty of conscience, liberty of speech, liberty of the person, liberty of economic opportunity. Wars, dynastic and religious, had exhausted both the substance and the tolerance of the old world. There was neither economic nor political liberty, nor any hope for either. Then came one of the great ironies of history. Rulers needed to find gold to pay their armies and increase their power over the common man. The seamen they sent out to find that gold found instead the way of escape for the common man from those rulers. What they found over the western horizon was not the silk and the jewels of Cathay, but mankind's second chance, a chance to create a new world after he had almost spoiled an old one. And the Almighty seems purposefully to have withheld that second chance until the time when men would most need and appreciate liberty. Time when men would be enlightened enough to establish it on foundations sound enough to maintain it. For over three centuries, a steady stream of men, women, and children followed the beacon of liberty which this light symbolizes. They brought to us strength and moral fiber, developed in a civilization centuries old, but fired anew by the dream of a better life in America. They brought to one new country the cultures of 100 old ones. I think it has not been sufficiently emphasized in the teaching of our history that the overwhelming majority of those who came from the nations of the old world to our American shores were not the laggards, nor the timorous, nor the failures. They were men and women who had the supreme courage to strike out for themselves, to abandon language and relatives, to start at the bottom, without influence, without money, without knowledge of the life in a very young civilization. And we can say for all America what the Californians said of the 49ers: the cowards never started, and the weak died by the way. Perhaps Providence did prepare this American continent of ours to be a place of the second chance. Certainly, millions of men and women have made it that. They adopted this homeland because in this home, in this land, they found a home in which the things they most desired could be theirs: freedom of opportunity, freedom of thought, freedom to worship God. Here they found life because here was freedom to live. It is the memory of all these eager seeking millions that makes this one of America's great places of romance. Looking down this great harbor, I like to think of the countless number of inbound vessels that have made the port. I like to think of the men and women who, with the break of dawn off Sandy Hook, have strained their eyes to the west for a first glimpse of the new world. They came to us, most of them, in spirit. But they in their humble quarters saw things in these strange horizons which were denied to the eyes of those who traveled in greater luxury. They came to us speaking many tongues, but a single language, the universal language of human aspiration. How well their hopes were justified is proved by the record of what they achieved. They not only found freedom in the New World, but by their effort and devotion, they made the New World's freedom safer and richer, more far-reaching, more capable of growth. Within this present generation, that stream from abroad has largely stopped. We have within our shores today the materials out of which we shall continue to build an even better home for liberty. We take satisfaction in the thought that those who have left their native land to join us may still retain here their affection for some things left behind: old customs, old languages, old friends. Looking to the future, they wisely chose that their children shall live in the new language and in the new customs of our new people. And those children more and more realize their common destiny in America. That is true whether their forebears came past this place 8 generations ago or only 1. The realization that we are all bound together by hope of a common future rather than by reverence for a common past has helped us to build upon this continent a unity unapproached in any similar area or similar sized population in the whole world. For all our millions of square miles, for all our millions of people, there is a unity in language and speech, in law and economics, in education, and in general purpose, which nowhere finds its match. It was the hope of those who gave us this statue, and the hope of the American people in receiving it, that the goddess of liberty and the goddess of peace were the same. The grandfather of my old friend, the French ambassador, and those who helped him make this gift possible were citizens of a great sister republic established on the principle of the democratic form of government. Citizens of all democracies unite in their desire for peace. Grover Cleveland 50 years ago recognized that unity of purpose on this very spot. He suggested that liberty enlightening the world would extend her rays from these shores to every other nation. Today, that symbolism should be broadened to the message of liberty which America sends to all the world. Must be added her message of peace. Even in times as troubled and uncertain as these, I still hold to the faith that a better civilization than any we have known is in store for America, and by our example, perhaps, for the world. Here, destiny seems to have taken a long look. Into this continental reservoir, there has been poured untold and untapped wealth of human resource. Out of that reservoir, out of the melting pot, the rich promise which the New World held out to those who came to it from many lands is finding fulfillment. And the richness of the promise has not run out. If we keep the faith for our day, as those who came before us kept the faith for theirs, then you and I can smile with confidence into the future. It is fitting, therefore, that this should be a service of rededication. Rededication to the liberty and the peace which this statue symbolizes. Liberty and peace are living things. In each generation, if they are to be maintained, they must be guarded and vitalized anew. We do only a small part of our duty in America when we glory in the great past. Patriotism that stops with that is a too easy patriotism, a patriotism out of step with the patriots themselves. For each generation, the more patriotic part is to carry forward American freedom and American peace by making them living facts in a living present. To that, my friends, to that we can, we do rededicate ourselves.